this morning, I want to talk to you about the builder's mentality. The builder's mentality. And since we're at the halfway point, this is, we've just crossed into the second half, 2018. We're halfway home. There were three things that the Lord said to us as we came into this year. And I want to visit them, and then I want to talk about a word that came forth in our Tuesday prayer meeting this past week. Can everybody hear me? We're good? The first word that the Lord gave us is a rather simple word. But let me say a couple things about receiving words of knowledge or receiving prophetic utterances. And we're a Spirit-filled church. We believe that the gifts of the Spirit are for today's church. We believe everything in the New Testament, including the book of Acts, that those gifts are still, they're supernatural, and they empower the church. And they're not to be cuckoo or weird. We don't run around looking for a prophetic word on what color tie or shirt we should wear every morning. But we understand the supernatural, really, in the kingdom of God, is the natural. The supernatural is not mysterious. It's practical. And when God speaks, we're created in His image. Even churches that don't believe or don't practice the spiritual gifts, whether they know it or not, they practice prophecy. Now, maybe not as we understand it, but every sermon should have some prophetic utterance in it. It should inspire. It should edify. We should be exhorting and lifting people up to what God's Word has said. Now, I know there are specific and diagnostic prophetic words, and I don't want to get into all of that. But what I do want to do is say to you, listen, when a word of prophecy comes forth, there's a way to receive it. And you don't want to receive it sarcastically, cynically, begrudgingly. You don't want to receive it as a spectator. When a word of prophecy comes, when God's word is read, where there's a promise from God's word, you want to receive it with expectation. Not sitting, listen, as a spectator. And that's what a lot of people do. And it's like, all right, if God said it, He'll make it happen. We'll see. And there's a lot of passive sense of entitlement that makes us lazy, and we're like, okay. And that's not how you receive the word of God. In the book of Revelation, Jesus said to the churches, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So the first thing is, you want to listen, you want to hear it. And then you want to receive that and begin to expect that it will happen. Now, these are the words that the Lord gave us for 2018 are rather general. You know, they're all just in Scripture. In fact, they'll be true for 2019 also. They were true for 2017. But rhema word is like when God, when you're reading and He highlights something. Like, I noticed several things reading through the book of Psalms this past month that just jumped out at me. And it was like, it was fresh. And that's how God's word is. And so these words, the first word is very general, but the Lord spoke it to us as a church. And the first word was this. So we receive these things with expectation. We keep them on our top of our mind, front of our brain. The first word was that for our church family, the door would open for us to share our faith with people with whom we've wanted to share it. How many of you received that? Come on. How many of you received that word? Now, I want to talk to you about that because even our response concerns me a little bit, quite honestly. That's true for any season of our life, that the door would open. But He spoke that into us for a reason. And I believe that we've got to prepare ourselves for that. Listen, there may be a child or a grandchild, a neighbor, a coworker, maybe the place where you pick up your dry cleaning. Can you pick up your dry cleaning from the same place for 10 years? See the same lady and her never know you're a believer? I hope not. Now, you don't run around, you know, passing out tracts or, you know, holding up the line when other people. I'm not talking about becoming, you know, some freak, but I am talking about looking for doors to open up. And the Lord spoke to us and said that there would be doors open up for people with whom we've wanted to share our, and we wouldn't have to press them open. We wouldn't have to do anything to make it happen, but that doors would open. People may go through things. They need help. People may have questions. People may notice you. We don't know what is going to cause the door to open, but God spoke to us that doors would open. Now, I want to encourage you. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, 15, verse 15, it says this. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always, somebody say always. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Now, we're just going to receive this word again in the second half of 2018. And I'm even right now, I'm having faces flash before my eyes of people that we're related to that they don't know the Lord. There's some of us who have atheists in our families. There's some of us who have people we're connected to in our cul-de-sac, in our workplace. They've been so wounded. They closed the door to the message of the gospel. And the Lord says that he's going to open the doors and we're going to be able to have conversation. And I wonder if right now one of those ask you, tell me, you're a Christian? Are you ready to say, you know, as a matter of fact, I am. When I was in 10th grade in high school, that Thanksgiving season of my 10th, and I could go in right then and talk about the difference and how real my faith is and how it helps me. Are you prepared to give an answer for the hope that God has put in your heart? Now, I want us to just receive. We're going to do this for all three words. How many of you will say, okay, second half of 2018 may not have happened in first half. Maybe I wasn't at this church. Maybe I heard that word and didn't really receive it, forgot about it, it just flew away. But right now, 2018, listen, you're saying, okay, God, I'm going to be ready. You know, I was at Lifetime out on Highway 92 Friday afternoon, and it just hit me. How many of these people are not prepared for eternity? You have one of those moments. It will move you. May we have those moments, because that's what moves the heart of God, his love for lost people. Can I get a witness? How many of you have someone in your family, they desperately need Jesus, and you really want them to receive him as their Lord and Savior? Amen. Would you right now just hold out your hands? Father, we receive this word that we are going to be instruments through which you use to share the great news of the truth about who Jesus is. You're going to anoint us, and we're simply just going to be witnesses. We're going to share our story, and people are going to receive the life-transforming news of Jesus as their Savior and Lord in the name of Jesus. Now, how many of you received that enthusiastically? Come on. How many of you? Come on, all over the room. This is how we receive. This is how we receive the prophetic word, Father, in Jesus' name. And I'm excited and expect, Father, that you're going to open those doors, and they're going to be amazing aha moments for all of us. And we're going to stand here at the end of this year, and we're going to share about people who came to know you when those doors propped open. Anybody agree with me? Yeah. Number two, single-minded and focused. Do not be distracted. God spoke to us specifically about being single-minded, focused, not getting distracted. In James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, this is the passage he gave to us. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. To be double-minded is to be doubting, to be hesitating, vacillating, not sure. The Message translation, these four verses say it like this: if you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way, adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. What is this the Father is saying to? What is this passage saying to us? It's saying this, simply: a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. That's what the Word is saying to us clearly. Now, what else is he saying? We talked about this back in January. This is not stretching the truth or what the Scripture teaches. We know that oftentimes in communication, what you say is not the only thing you say. Sometimes what you're saying is not what you're saying. Anybody married to a person? And you got to learn to hear what's not being said. And I'm getting better at it. I haven't arrived there. Can I get a witness on the front row? But the inverse is true. In Matthew 7, it's in verse 7, it says, "Ask and you will receive." What's he not saying? Anybody? If you don't ask, you won't receive. Matthew 5 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God." What's he not saying? "Cursed are those who bring division, for they will not be seen and recognized as sons of God." Blessed are the peacemakers. Hosea 4 verse 6 says, "My people die for lack of knowledge." What's the inverse? "My people live with knowledge." Amen? Luke 6, "Give and it will be given to you, pressed down." What's he not saying? "Don't give and it won't be given to you." Another, in the verse before this, I think it says, "Forgive and you'll be forgiven." You don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. That's what he's saying. So back to this passage. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. And this was what God said to us in January, and I'm so excited about it. What did he say that he didn't say? It's this: a single-minded man is stable in all his ways. He should expect to receive everything from the Lord. How many of you would say then, "I want to be single-minded. I want to have focus"? How many of you look back over 2018 and say, "Man, this first half, I needed that word. I got to refocus now"? Are y'all out there? I mean, this is simple, but talking about focus is so much easier than actually getting and staying focused. Can I get a witness? It's hard to stay focused. We live on planet Earth in this world that is not pro-gospel. I have a real devil who doesn't like me. And I got my stinking flesh. It goes everywhere I go. And to get focused and to stay focused. But I have learned, when things try and get me off my game, off my focus, if I can stay focused and make those decisions that are wisdom, which is what this passage is about, praying for wisdom, I can make those right choices, those right decisions. I'm not unstable. I'm stable in all my ways. And when I'm stable in my faith, not doubting, not like tossed to and fro, I can expect to receive everything God has planned for me to have. Whew. Is anybody out there hearing what I'm hearing this morning? That's all it is. Yeah, the devil's real, but you're more than a conqueror. Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. If you just keep your focus, you can just keep your focus. Now, some of you guys are moving out, and you're into some in this year, and you're doing some stuff, and you know, how do you move out kind of in a promise that God has given you? Or how do you, listen, move into the next season of your life? You know, do you just make your decisions and go, let's do this? I talked to my wife and we kind of agree we're going to do that. Or do you pray about it? I hope you pray about it. And most of us, we face transitions that are, they require God's help. They require his sense of direction and instruction. So how do you do that, Pastor Chuck? There's three things. They're very simple. I sense Holy Spirit. He's wanting to make a heavenly download in you this morning. Where are you going? What are you getting ready to do? Listen, first thing you need to do is ask God for clarity. He doesn't want you moving forward with fuzzy ideas about what he wants you to do. And I, what I've learned in my life, stay still but open when it's fuzzy and ask for clarity. Now, don't stay still and open. Don't close up. Don't ignore it. No, stay there. Let it ferment. Let it meditate. And then God will make it clear. And listen, most of you, when you're moving into your next season of whatever it is God wants you to do, and who knows what it may be? Where to go to college? Should I take this promotion? Should I? Too many times we just look horizontally and we go, yeah, it makes sense, let's do it. And we don't ask for God's direction. Get clarity. Why? Because when you go, okay, God, this is what you've called me to do, chances are what he calls you to do is going to be challenging. It's going to require faith. Ain't nobody up in here with me this morning. It's going to require faith. So when you get there, you better have clarity. Because you know who's going to be coming trying to tell you, you miss God. You're in the wrong place. When all the stuff starts breaking loose and looks like you're not supposed to be there, you're going to need clarity to go, no, really. He told me. It may look like I'm in the wrong place, but brother, I'm not in the wrong place. This is where God called me. I know he called me here, and I'm staying here, and I know he has a plan for me. Y'all out there this morning? So you need clarity. The next thing you've got to do is when you get clarity, move out, move confidently. Don't be double-minded. Well, I'll try, keep my options open. You know, God, no. I ask for clarity, God, because I'm going to need it. I got it. Hell or high water, good, bad, ugly, rain, snow, sleet, I'm moving out. I'm moving out, and I'm moving confidently. Then the number three thing you better do, listen to me, brothers and sisters, beloved, you better stay in God's word. Because you're going to need some more direction when you get there. We got like two yes and one half amen on staying in God's word. Everybody's like all about clarity and all about the prophetic. We all want a word. But do we want to obey that word? Be single-minded. And you'll be stable in all your ways. And you should expect to receive everything from the Lord. Woo! People love prophecy. I want a word. I need a new sticky note on my mirror, on my refrigerator, on my dashboard. Because I need something to help me remember on my dashboard what I got on my mirror, that word that collides, and I'm not sure how they fit with that one on the refrigerator, but I got a word for everybody here this morning. A specific prophetic word. Thus saith the Lord. read your Bible. Amen. I thank you for receiving it. It will mess you up. It'll make you become somebody you can't even believe who you are. You would be so full of God, so full of faith, so full of confidence. You will believe God for the best. You will be looking for His prosperous ways. You'll be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. You will hunger for more. The more of the Bible you get, the more you want. It's like a good drug. It will keep you high above all the junk of the world. Thus saith the Lord, read your Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Now, the third and final word. The Lord said 2018 would be great. And we all said, thank you, Jesus. Comma, but it won't be easy. It's going to be great, but not easy. I'm so, Kenneth and I were talking this morning. Lord Jesus, we got the not easy part out the first 6 months of the year. Anybody else? Come on, anybody else found 2018 to be, like, challenging? And I could cry a bucket right here, seriously. We had things. I prayed. We fasted. I mean, we prayed and fasted. And we put specific things on our list. And God began to answer those prayer requests. But it wasn't like I thought He was going to answer them. And when God answers your prayers and it's not like you want Him to answer them, it feels like He's not answering them. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? And so, God said 2018 was going to be great, but not easy. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. That wide road's easy. That wide road's, everybody, you just get up in the morning, you can go down that wide road. The Message says it like this: don't look for shortcuts to God. Woo-wee. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do. Look, the way to life, to God, is vigorous and requires total attention, focus, single-mindedness. Everything God wants to do in our lives is great. Everything. This is a specific word for us in 2018. But this is what I'm saying. Next year will be the same. It may not. God may highlight other scriptures for us for that year. But for 2018 and 2019, everything God wants to do in our lives is great. It's truly great. But you're going to have to battle for it. Because we have an adversary, we have a real world, we have real flesh, and we're going to have to battle every single day of our lives. Amen? If you have your Bibles, I want you to open. I'm going to read two passages of Scripture, and we're going to talk about this not being easy as we move in, and I wrap up here with the builder's mentality. If you have your Bibles, go to Nehemiah chapter 2. And most of you know the story of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a Jewish boy who had been transported. He was serving over in Persia or Babylon. And when the Babylonians came in, they just destroyed all of Jerusalem, killed people, destroyed the temple, tore down the walls of the city and the walls of the city. There's a lot of talk about walls now, but back then, walls was your defense. If you don't have any walls, you really don't have a city because you can't protect yourself. For about 100 years now, that city just, it looked like, what was that movie, Denzel Washington, The Book of Eli? That's what it looked like. Just, ah. Then some Jews came back and they rebuilt the temple. They came back and reopened the post office. They got City Hall back. And there were some other things, but they still, they don't have any sense of no boundaries, no borders, no protection. And so they're coming back, and Nehemiah gets permission over in Persia from the king. Yep, you can go back and rebuild those walls. He even gave him permission as he traveled through certain countries. Leave me alone, because I got his permission and his protection. I get to go back to my hometown, and we're going to rebuild those walls. And when he gets back, look, everybody look here. All of us, we love a word like that. God's going to rebuild the walls, Nehemiah, and he's going to use you to do it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I received that word. And now I go back. Hey, God bless you. God bless you. We're going to rebuild the walls. It's going to be awesome. And I'm in charge. And you get that executive entitled mentality where you tell everybody what to do and just we get it done. How many know that's not how it happened? And how many of you know that's not how it happens in your life? Come on, somebody, wake up. Listen, when God gives you a word because it's hard or there's serious challenges, does that mean he didn't give you the word? It might mean he, in fact, gave you the word. And so we see in Nehemiah chapter 2, look at verse 10. Said, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard about this, heard about what? They're going to rebuild the walls. They were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. Skip down to verse 17. Then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Nehemiah says, come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me. They replied, let us start rebuilding. So they begin this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about it, you know who these were? These were all the ites that got kicked out of there when God brought them into the promised land. Anybody got any ites? Anybody got a hard-headed husbandite? Anybody got a financial broke-ite? Anybody? Anybody got a self-ite? There's ites everywhere. And they got kicked out. And they didn't like it. And those ites wanted to come back. When Sanballat, when they heard, the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. What is this you are doing there? Are you rebelling against the king? I answered them by saying, clarity, clarity. The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it. Somebody say, uh-huh. Skip over to chapter 4, everybody. You got your Bibles, right? You brushed your teeth before you came to church, right? You combed your hair. Bring your Bible or your smartphone. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they really offer? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble burned as they are? Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, what they are building, if even a fox climbed up on it, he would break down their wall of stones. Hear us, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height. For the people worked, say it with me, with all their heart, single-minded, focused. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites and the men of Ashdod heard that the repairs of Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Are y'all seeing this picture? Is this how Satan works in your life? Verse 10, meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Also, our enemy said, you start listening to your enemies, you're in trouble. Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to their work. Then the Jews who lived near the came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. Nehemiah, therefore I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, clarity, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his own work. I have this underlined, these next few verses. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armors. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. I have to pause. Sometimes you got to work with one hand and worship or pray with the other. Sometimes for you to make it, you're going to have to worship God to get you through, to be equipped to do and fight off the enemy to get done what God wants you to be done, what he wants to do in and through your life. Amen? Anybody know how to multitask? Fight on one hand, work with the other. Anybody out there this morning? Worship is powerful. Read your Bible. Worship. Stay connected. Verse 18, and each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked, but the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. Can somebody say it? Our God will fight for us. Come on, how many have a big vision, have a big God? What God's calling you to do, you're going to need him to fight for you. I've got to preach this. If God's speaking to us about something he wants to do in our life, it's great. It's great, it's big, it's challenging. When you tell somebody what God's told you he wants to do, they may think you're crazy. Some of you may be in a business situation, a new job. You may have relocated. It's a challenging season. Hear this. God will fight for you. He's with you. You need him. Don't go it alone. Don't live horizontally. Seek his empowering presence of his spirit to help you get it done. Are y'all out there this morning? Praise your name, Jesus. Verse something, where was I? 21. So we continued the work with half the men holding spears from the first light of dawn till the stars came out. That's an all-day job. At that time, I also said to the people, have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night so they can serve us as guards by night and workmen by day. Neither I nor my brothers nor my men nor the guards with me took off our clothes. Each had his weapon. Even when he went for water. Man, oh man, that's, y'all know me. That's like 2 weeks of preaching right there. I just read over it and just by osmosis, just everybody received chapter 2 and 4 in Nehemiah, okay? Now, as we talk about these three words, that God's going to open doors for us to share our faith, that we are to be single-minded, not double-minded. That's the second word. And then thirdly, that 2018 was going to be great, but not easy. We're halfway home, and you have to have a builder's mentality. I know in the workplace in corporate America, they talk about there's builders and there are maintainers, and that the secret to healthy companies is Don't put a maintainer in a builder's position. Don't put a builder in a maintainer's position. Builders need to be builders and maintainers, maintainers. But listen, in the spiritual realm, for you to move into what God has for you, you can't have a maintainer's faith. You will have to have a builder's mentality. I didn't get this out of a book. This is just stuff that since Tuesday in prayer, the Lord just began to download into me, and I want to read them. Number one, what's a builder's mentality? Builders recognize when things need to be built, when things need to change. Builders recognize when things need to be better. Anybody a builder out there, and you know what I'm talking about? You see things that need to be different, things that need to be tweaked, things that need to be better. Secondly, builders count the cost. Jesus talked about this. Before they start, they count the cost. Thirdly, builders have a vision for something before it is visible. They see it before everybody else sees it. Fourthly, builders realize that things never go as planned. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Things never go as planned. If you ever built a home, they tell you to take us about 3 months. Liars. Because on best case scenario, maybe 3 months. But rain comes. Home Depot delivers the wrong thing. It's not the Home Depot where Bruce works. It's a different Home Depot. But they deliver the trusses are the wrong. They're to go to another house. Builders realize things never go as planned. It rains for 2 weeks before we could get the roof on it. Just shut us down. An inspector came from Fulton County, and he was like Tobiah, the Horonite, the horrible light. And he made up stuff. And he just didn't like me. He saw that whatever sticker on the back of my car and saw who I voted for, or that ichthus. He heard 91.5 or the fish playing. And he came in and he just did that. Be prepared. When God gives you a word, be prepared that it's not going to be easy. Things are not going to go as planned. But you stay in there with a builder's mentality. Anybody out there hearing what I'm saying this morning? Receive that, brothers, sisters. Nextly, number five, builders are not easily discouraged. Number six, builders are willing to roll up their sleeves and go to work. Number seven, builders finish what they started. Builders deal with all kinds of unpredictable things. The weather, subcontractors, inspectors, hot temperatures, cold temperatures, rain, snow, they do it all. If you're a builder, you don't just show up at the closing table and get a check. What are you building right now? What has God called you to do this year? It probably involves great. And it won't be easy. What time is it? Time to go home. It's all right. We're going to download this. And everybody look at me. I have a friend that was an executive with McKesson. McKesson stock the last 20 years. My friend is retired. And just the story. And me getting to know him, it just that life, just the executive life. And so when we'd take me to play golf with his buddies, he would tell me what they do, and I asked him one day, and I called him by name. I was like, you know, everybody, there were people in our neighborhood that worked for McKesson. I'm like, everybody that I know that works for McKesson, it's like nobody does any of the work. They all tell people and they are in over this, and I'm like who manufactures the stuff? And then he told me, you know, that's why he was in India for 3 months last year. He's over there with engineers. And that American mentality of, I'm an executive. Somebody answers the phone. Somebody answers my email. Somebody, to, I have a personal assistant that tells me when and where to be and what to do and how to do it. You know, and then there's that entitlement thing that we deal with too, where it's like, well, God said it, so I'm entitled to it actually happening. And we don't want to battle for it. There are people here this morning. Your 2018 is going to be great. Not easy, but great if you'll fight for it. How many of you this morning will stand? Not yet, but you'll say, I'm going to receive this word that 2018 is going to be solid. It's going to be good. The year's not over yet. You might have to hang on till after Thanksgiving for it to turn around. How many of you are going, I'm not going to give up? Oh, come on, don't get 4th of July sleepy on me right now. There's hamburgers and hot dogs in a few days, but right now, it's about the Word of God. It's about the Word of God. How many of you will say, Pastor Chuck, I am going to believe God that the second half of 2018 is going to be great. I know for Candace Ramsey and Chuck Ramsey and for our household, it's going to be great because God said it was going to be great. Not easy, but great. How many of you, now listen, keep your seat if you're not ready to step up and step out on the, get out of the boat and walk on the water and go, I'm going to expect it too. Can you imagine the great things God has in his heart for us this year? It'd blow your minds if we knew. With the seed of Abraham, he wants to bless us, to be a blessing. You might have a dream in your heart that's going to be fulfilled in 2018. You might have a son or a daughter. They're going to come to Christ in the second half of this year. Amen? Now, how many of you will stand and say, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm going to stand and believe God. It's going to be great. In Jesus' name. Amen.